But how comfortable of a lifestyle do you have to have in order to sell a large portion of your stack? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
You have to remember that government, the state, is not some monolithic beast that is working together in lockstep. You've got different people with different incentives doing different things and proposing different types of bills and legislation.
The only way to make your voice heard is to defund the state, whichever state that may be. And that is by buying Bitcoin and holding it yourself. Hold your private keys in self-custody that you control.
They're not going to go higher than Bitcoin. They're not going to become more valuable than Bitcoin. You just need to learn 7 steps and hold it yourself. It's a very simple and logical step, but yet laziness seems to be a disease.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Guys, let's jump right in. So we have up first from TFTC, long-term Bitcoin holders have sold more than 400,000 Bitcoin over the last 30 days, representing almost 2% of the total supply. And here we are still holding strong above 100,000. Greer, you brought this one to my attention. Short-term holders are also capitulating. 28,600 BTC, about almost $3 billion sent to exchanges at a loss. So this is wild to see that we are holding. Right now, I think we're at 103,000. So it's not like we're at all-time highs at the moment. But we've been holding strong. We haven't been seeing these dips. I would love to hear, Greer, your thoughts first on both of these stories.
Yeah, the short-term holders, you know, to me, this says these are people who came for the greed and didn't stay for the revolution, which is a shame. You know, you never want to be buying Bitcoin at the top and then selling it. You know, any top is a future dip. So I think that the best thing to do is study Bitcoin. You don't want to be selling this asset ever. And, you know, if you are a long-term holder, I think, what are they doing? They're diversifying, they're getting out, they're changing their life. But the fact that we're seeing 400,000 coins be distributed within 30 days, you know, overall, this is good for the network. It allows more people to have access to Bitcoin. But if you're coming for the price going up, you know, you really need to think about your conviction. You know, Bitcoin separates money from state. It's our way to regain power over the central banks and really give ourselves freedom that we've never had before. So, you know, I think everybody is a seller, but they'll live to regret it. You know, it's very hard to buy back Bitcoin when you've done something like this. It takes months and months of really hard work. So I would say study what you have and hold on to it.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually been reading this book. I've got over here. It's called Modern Chains by a guy named Neil Flesher. I'm interviewing him after this on the podcast. And I think people need to start focusing on acquiring a moral conviction for Bitcoin. Yes, it is going to increase your purchasing power. It's going to make your life better. But I think too many people are so short-sighted on price action. And it's why we see so many of the fiat games, the selling. And if you begin to appreciate Bitcoin, not just in the way that it can alter your lifestyle, but also in the way that it's going to change the world, I think it makes it much easier to have the moral conviction to hold. Tony?
Yeah, that's the problem, man, is that most people, these short-term holders that are coming in, have no concept of anything. I mean, these guys don't know Bitcoin from a donut. They heard it from a friend at a party and they're like, it's the next Hakuta coin for all that they're concerned. I mean, this is why they capitulate. So I don't really factor these people in at some point. You know, they'll run out of money or perhaps, you know, get a clue. But what's really mind-boggling to me are the old-timers, you know, as to how much they've sold. I mean, I try to put myself in their shoes. I mean, even if I did start very early and I had so much Bitcoin, I mean, why would I sell that large amount? Like, to fund a comfortable lifestyle, that part I get. But how comfortable of a lifestyle do you have to have in order to sell a large portion of your stack? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Either these people, you know, they just maybe they also got lucky at the beginning and don't really understand the value of what they hold. Maybe they have no concept of the separation of money and state. For them, it was just it's just a bet, you know, that paid off. it's really like it's fascinating to me to see this, because I mean, you can fund a very, you know, comfortable lifestyle with a much smaller amount of Bitcoin. You don't need to see, you know, 12 zeros on a screen to feel good about yourself. In fact, that's pretty stupid, because you've just given up real wealth for complete garbage. But of course, you know, everybody's free to do what they want. And, you know, I'm sure they justify their decisions in their own heads. But I just find it very surprising that someone who's held for that long now does the dumbest thing ever. But, you know, this is also on the flip side, it's also very healthy, because it redistributes Bitcoin into, you know, more hands, and hopefully hands that understand what it is that they hold. And, you know, because of this, at some point, the volatility is going to subside, because that's it. There's no more, you know, major players that are able to swing these big moves. So bullish in the long run, yeah, perhaps, like, I guess it sucks to see in the short term. But keep your emotions on ice, guys. This was not going to be, you know, smooth sailing. Nobody ever said that.
I agree. All righty. So we've got the odds of Bitcoin falling under 100K this month rise to 52% on Polymarket. So my understanding is Polymarket's been a pretty good indicator of what's likely to happen. 52%, I think it's, you know, very much obviously a flip of a coin, but Tony, what would your message be to people who are looking at this and thinking, you know, we could see $90,000 Bitcoin or, you know, less? Does that change anything for you?
For me, it changes absolutely nothing. For me, it's Christmas. But, you know, part of me wants it to fall, because I think it'll get rid of all the idiots in the market that are in here for the wrong reasons. But of course, you know, too many people run on emotions in this space, and that's a problem when it's when you're dealing with something like this that has a low time preference. So in order to win in Bitcoin, you really have to be calm. You really have to understand what it is that you're holding and desensitize yourself over, you know, the elements that you can't control. Global conditions, geopolitics, like, you can't decide anything about this. They're going to happen, you know, whether you like it or not. But if you let yourself get influenced by these things, then you risk, you know, destroying yourself, financially speaking. So if it drops below 90, consider it like a gift from God. And hopefully, you know, that Bitcoin will find itself into the hands that understand that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're going to see more sell pressure under 100. And that's going to be, to me, just the indication that it's speculators, because when the S&P 500, we hit a rocky path, investors aren't just dumping the S&P 500, at least not your average everyday investor, because they anticipate in the future they're going to see greater returns over a long enough time horizon. I think people are probably still viewing Bitcoin as this speculative bet, and hopefully it pays off. But if it doesn't in the next 6 months, then it's just not good enough for them. Greer, what would you say?
I agree. This is a gift to anybody who's trying to stack sats. If you have a goal in mind and you've been working hard and you've been saving in Bitcoin, a dip is a gift. So I have no problem with it going lower. I mean, please go as low as possible, and I will change certain elements in my life to be able to acquire more. You know, all options are on the table for me. So I think that we could go lower, but it doesn't scare me. What it actually does is make me realize that I have another chance to stack more Bitcoin when other people are afraid of it. And, you know, storms do not last forever. You know, I think we're seeing a lot of macro events colliding and causing the price and the fear in the market. And that won't last forever. That will end. And when it does, the people who have been diligently buying sats at a time, whatever you can afford, those are the people who will be rewarded. So I look forward to it. It's fun when the sentiment is up, you know, and everyone's looking at all-time high, and we think we're going to, you know, whatever, $1 million a coin. That'll happen eventually. It doesn't have to happen for me this year or next year or in 5 years. But I think this is the time where you have to do the work to understand what Bitcoin is, stack as much as possible, and tune out the noise.
You heard it here first. Greer will be selling his non-essential organs if we dip below $100,000. That's all I heard. All righty. We've got some global affairs developing in France. They just declared war on savers. So a new bill would hit, quote, we've seen this before, unproductive wealth, including Bitcoin, art, homes, jewelry, with a 1% annual tax, even if you don't sell. So it's not only an unproductive wealth tax, it's an unrealized capital gains tax. Or an unrealized capital loss tax, I suppose, in some years. Tony, this is exactly what I would expect to see out of Western Europe.
Of course, man. Another failed European country. I don't understand how they come up with these things, considering all the big money is pretty much gone from France or will be on its way out. So all of these bills, like, they're going to remain in-house. And if they don't, at some point, you know, they're setting themselves up for, you know, the perfect storm, like a perfect civil war within the country. I mean, France is already teetering on the brink of complete annihilation. These things, they're not going to help. In fact, these are just like, you know, the last desperate straws to hopefully do something that sticks. But this is terrible. I mean, if as a French citizen, this is like the best marketing to get into Bitcoin, first of all, and to get out of France and the EU in general. This is great for anyone looking to build their sovereign lifestyle. I mean, this is like, if you want the best ad for why a plan B should be your plan A, keep reading the news. I mean, Europe is definitely headed in this direction, and it's not isolated to France.
Yeah, Greer, I'm going to move to the next one. You can comment on both. But Tony, you brought up leaving as an option, and it's something we're seeing lots of people doing. Rachel Reeves, a politician in the UK, considers an exit tax for wealthy Brits fleeing the country. I've seen a 20% tax is what they're talking about. And the funny thing is this: the subtext here is the move, which has been labeled crazy and desperate by the shadow chancellor, could generate £2 billion. Which is funny to imagine that they have not calculated for all of the lost tax revenue from those people leaving in the first place. I'm sure it amounts to a big net negative for the British government, which is fine by me. Greer, why don't you take this whatever direction you want on either or both stories?
Yeah, they both reek of desperation. You know, last week we were laughing at France for saying they wanted to start a Bitcoin strategic reserve. We didn't think it would happen. This week they're saying if you hold Bitcoin, you have to give us some of the profit, even though, you know, governments think that Bitcoin is, especially the ECB and Christine Lagarde, you know, they think Bitcoin is illegitimate. So which one is it? And the same is true here. To me, this reeks of it is desperation. It's governments trying to, fix their fiscal house, which they've ruined, and come after the people who have tried to escape the system, who have done the right thing, who have produced for their economies. You don't want to live under this type of ruling party. And the truth is that it's very hard to vote your way out of anything. I mean, look at New York today and what they're about to do in their mayoral race. You know, voting is not the answer. If you want an answer, if that's what you really care about, the only way to make your voice heard is to defund the state, whichever state that may be. And that is by buying Bitcoin and holding it yourself. Hold your private keys in self-custody that you control. Now you have freedom and there's nothing that they can do to stop you. Good luck trying to get your Bitcoin in self-custody out of that. There's no way to get out of your wallet.
Yeah. You have to remember that government, the state, is not some monolithic beast that is working together in lockstep. You've got different people with different incentives doing different things and proposing different types of bills and legislation. And so you've got someone trying to, you know, start a strategic reserve, mine Bitcoin with nuclear. And then you've got someone else saying, no, we need to tax Bitcoin because it's not productive. Tony, did you have any other comment that you wanted to add on the UK story?
Just the final touch is the only vote that matters, no matter where you're living on this planet, is your money. Nothing else works. If they can't get your money, they will bend to doing, you know, what you want them to do. Anything outside of that is a waste of time.
Well said. Okay, we've been harping on this a lot, guys, but I think we have to keep on raising awareness. So India had a digital ID disaster. We've been talking about this in other countries a lot lately. So over 1 billion people were forced into a biometric system in, linking food, pensions, and healthcare. And then criminals hacked and cloned identities, leaving families starving, elderly without pensions, and the sick turned away from hospitals. It says at the end here, this isn't progress. It's a blueprint for dystopia. So I think that we've talked a lot about, you know, I think the obvious implications of digital ID, and that is that the government can surveil you. They can tell you can't drive a certain distance. You can't buy a certain thing. Your money has to be spent at a certain time. You can't get on a plane, all of these. The other risk is that anytime information, data, especially highly sensitive data, is centralized, it creates a honeypot. People want access to it because it's valuable. It's worth something. They can use it for all of these black market operations that they might want to. Tony, you're the cybersecurity guru here, man. What would you say to this?
This is both good and bad. I mean, it's really bad that all these people have been hurt by this and really like had their lives destroyed. But it's good because it finally casts a spotlight as to why these centralized models must be stopped and destroyed permanently. They do not work. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, these are like extremely valuable honeypots of information, whether, you know, it's all this data behind the digital ID, whether it's Bitcoin centralized in one institution. Whenever you've got these, you know, centralized locations of things that people want, at some point, someone smarter than you, but with different intentions, is going to target them. And when that happens, not if, when that happens, then it's regular folks that always pay the price. But the problem is regular folks have no idea, you know, why these things happen and how to avoid them, because they're not listening to the proper channels. They don't have this constant, you know, throwing of education at them. So they just do what, you know, instinctively they've always done, which is nothing intelligent. So this has to change. This is where the education and the messaging has to improve. And until it does, people are unfortunately going to learn from, you know, catastrophes like this. So whenever you have a chance to opt out of any KYC, just do it, man. This is not for your protection. You're setting yourself up for a complete life takeover. I mean, holy cow. I mean, this, I can't possibly imagine how bad this is, and how you, the thing is, you can't stop this once it breaks. So, and now you add AI to this mix, and God knows, you know, what this, you know, morphs into down the road.
Yeah, I completely agree. Greer, what would you add to that?
Yeah, the hacking will continue until privacy improves. And even if you loved digital ID, let's just pretend that you think that this is great. You want it to be more convenient. You want digital ID for all the promises that the government gives you. Let's say that's true. Your data is not safe. So why would you even do it? You know, so there really is no rationale for a regular person or anyone to opt into this stuff. Even if you think it will be a benefit for humanity, which it won't, your information is going to be hacked. It will happen. I mean, 1 billion people. This is a huge number of people that were in this hack, and it's heartbreaking to see, you know, the effects of this.
Agreed. Alrighty, guys, here in macro news, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you another $15 billion Fed pump into the banking system. The entire regional banking system is experiencing a liquidity crisis. So far, over $100 billion has been pumped into the banking system since July. Contagion spreading. So we're seeing more money pumped in, banks being strained. I kind of had this sense. Remember, what was it? Was it 2 years ago now that Silicon Valley Bank and a few of these others had their issues, bank runs, and it wasn't over. Like they'd like plugged that hole, but there's still the underlying issue. Greer, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, this one gets a little technical, but what I would say is that the bank is not a good place to keep your money. And, you know, they're having a lot of problems. They're using the Fed's overnight rate, which it looks like the Fed might not be able to control that SOFR rate as they had hoped. So as this government shutdown continues, it looks like it's putting more stress on the banks. And how we get out of this situation is becoming a little bit more unclear. You know, everyone has really talked about at length how the Fed is trapped, and we've done that as well. So if you don't want to be part of this, I would say keep as little cash in the bank as possible. Save it in Bitcoin. And, you know, hopefully there's a solution to this, but it looks like it's going to be ugly.
Yeah. Tony, anything you'd add?
It's the end, boys. I mean, this is what we've been warning about for the last 3 years. If your money is in a bank, you're about to lose it. Or have it, you know, debased to nothing. Very sad, man, with how people still don't get this message, because clearly there's a lot of people that haven't changed a single habit in the last, you know, in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and most people aren't even being fed this information, right? Like the only reason we're talking about it is because we pay attention to these sorts of odd things, and most people have just no concept of what's coming their way. Alrighty, guys, we talk a lot about why you shouldn't trust custodians. So this is from Sani. Coinbase Prime Custody executed 6 transactions that inadvertently revealed GameStop's entire Bitcoin holdings on chain, 6 addresses, containing about, what was it, 4,700 BTC purchased in May of this year. He says, thank you. Tony, Coinbase is, they're like, just, we don't stop on Coinbase. We don't let up. But this is a prime example of why you can't trust a custodian.
Of course, man. It's like a typical oops. Well, this is the problem. Exactly as you said, you can't trust centralized institutions to do everything right. I mean, these are the risks. The KYC information, the honeypot of data that, you know, people willingly, you know, provide under the delusion of safety, is dangerous. So that has to change. I mean, people need to, but you need people to, you know, reverse their habits and understand how they have to do this, first of all, because most people don't think. They just function on autopilot, repeating the same, you know, silliness that they've been doing their entire lives. And so these mistakes will continue to happen until they get, you know, big enough or bad enough that people have no other play. But by then it's too late. And I suspect most folks are going to have to get destroyed once, twice, maybe three times before they actually learn. I mean, I know this happened to me personally. This is why I'm so passionate about this, because I know that if I didn't get wrecked the way I did when they stole my entire life, I probably wouldn't be saying these things today. So in hindsight, as bad as it was, I'm happy it happened, because I needed that, you know, that hammer in order to set me straight.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of that. What was it? There was like an Ethereum hack, and it was, I think this is just a good illustration that at the end of the day, just like government, it's just a bunch of people operating like flawed human beings, and they're going to make mistakes, and they might send your Bitcoin away. They might not even have your Bitcoin, by the way. They might do something like this that, you know, lets everyone know exactly how much you have and where they could be hacked. There's so many things that can go wrong because it's just people who will make mistakes at some point or another. And so take self-custody of your Bitcoin. You can do it. It's a handful of steps. You just need the right teacher. Greer, what do you think?
There are so many great places to buy Bitcoin, you know, and I believe it's not Coinbase. I would say use River, use Strike, use a Bitcoin-only company. Coinbase gets so much hate from Bitcoiners because they offer so many shitcoins on their platform, which makes our industry look like a joke. You know, it's Bitcoin only. So really, you should only be transacting with companies that share your values. Not long ago, Coinbase employees at a call center were being paid to give up customer information. Add to that the countless stories of people who, when they tried to withdraw their coins from Coinbase, had to wait 30 days or longer. In addition, there are many times where you have to upload a video, show all sides of your face, which we've talked, can be manipulated by AI. So I would say, like, stay away from this company. Not only will they not protect your data, your privacy, but they're not a Bitcoin company. They are a casino, and you should really be doing business with companies that are only Bitcoin.
Agree. Or by peer-to-peer. That's a good way of doing
peer-to-peer.
It, too. All righty, guys. Up last, so we've got Pledator. I like Pledator. I hate when he's right because it means something bad happened. But Sequins, one of these Bitcoin treasury companies, just so they sold some of their Bitcoin, and he said rebranding the company's capitulation as a strategic asset reallocation. I think we are going to see more of this because there is legitimate struggle happening in Bitcoin treasury co land. Greer, you want to take this one, and then Tony, chime in.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Saylor has really secured the market here, and who knows what will happen with his Bitcoin or what they do with it. But, you know, if there's one company that sells Bitcoin, there will be others. And I think what we're seeing is the entire narrative just sort of fall apart. It looks like Sequins wasn't able to raise money. They're not able to, you know, survive without selling their Bitcoin, which, you know, it's a shame for them, and it's a shame for all of the people who had hoped that this would be another asymmetric bet. You know, if you could give your money to a company like this, they could buy Bitcoin on your behalf, and then you could earn more dollars over time, maybe even outpacing the price of Bitcoin. You know, that whole narrative, in my opinion, has been blown up. There's nothing better than Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the revolution. You know, we're not investing in Bitcoin to make more money. We're investing in Bitcoin to have freedom and autonomy, money that no one else can debase or stop. So, you know, maybe they've learned a lesson here. I don't know where they go forward, but I expect more companies will be facing the hard facts as we, you know, head into this financial crisis.
Tony, you were one of the first people to warn folks about Bitcoin treasury companies. And it seems like some of these, some of your prophecies are coming to fruition.
Of course, man, it's crystal clear. I mean, you play stupid games, you're going to win stupid prizes. There's no value in this garbage. These people don't believe in sovereignty. They understand absolutely nothing about Bitcoin other than it's like the latest buzzword and something they have to get into in order to extend the lifeline of their uselessness. So if you want to buy this trash thinking, you know, you're doing some intelligent investment, well, you know, congratulations. Here's your wake-up call. And I suspect, I'd say 90% of them are going to capitulate like this. There's no value in it. Excuse me. There's no value in a Bitcoin treasury. You go straight to the asset. Why would you pay someone and hold their shitcoin while they actually hold the world's scarcest asset? It makes absolutely no sense. They're not going to go higher than Bitcoin. They're not going to become more valuable than Bitcoin. You just need to learn 7 steps and hold it yourself. It's like it's a very like simple and logical step, but yet laziness seems to be a disease with folks that somehow think this junk is better. Well, congratulations.
Don't gamble with your life savings. Just buy Bitcoin. Take self-custody. Keep it simple. Guys, I think that's a good place to wrap for today. Just want to make everyone aware, make sure you go to our website, thebitcoinway.com. You can subscribe to our newsletter there. We've got, for our friends in Australia, a webinar coming up here on November 19th. And we'd love to have you join. We're going to be talking about how you can take Bitcoin into your retirement account, into your super, and self-custody it, do it the right way. So that's the best place to stay tuned, find out about those sorts of events that we make known to everyone. I think that's it, guys. Stick around for another minute if you're listening to learn more about the Bitcoin way. But gents, great chatting as always, and look forward to catching up soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.